Hi, my name's Julie Macken. I'm sure everyone in Australia, not just the UK, has now heard the story of how Dominic Cummings, Prime Minister Boris Johnson's most senior advisor, and the man credited, if that's even the right word to use, with driving the Brexit vote to success, repeatedly broke the lockdown directive in England recently because he wanted to take his son to his parents' place in case he and his wife got sick. And then he needed to drive to a very scenic spot to check his eyesight. And then he needed to do a couple of other things while he was out and about, because he felt he should. The outcry felt by many in England, those who weren't able to go to their parents' funerals, those who weren't able to get married, the thousands of people who had to bury their partners, their friends, their parents, their children, all those health workers who put their own lives on the line just by turning up at work, they were scandalised by this very Tory assumption that the rules don't apply to Dominic, nor to the Prime Minister, apparently. But it looks like Dominic will hang tough and Prime Minister Johnson will hang weak, and nothing will come of it for Dominic. But what about the rest of the community in the UK? I doubt any member of the Johnson government will now be stupid enough to use that well-worn phrase, "we're all in this together," because they are not all in this together. Very clearly, there is one rule that applies to the powerful and another to the rest of the community, which is not a great message to send when the population's health depends on the cooperation of 67 million people and all those people respecting the social distancing, hygiene and other health protocols. But is Dominic's behaviour a breach of trust, or is it evidence of something even more sinister? Because we're seeing a very similar situation here in Australia, as the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, hangs tough on not accepting any responsibility for allocations of the funds in the over $100 million sports fraud affair. He doesn't even turn up to explain what happened with the robo-debt, you know, the $720 million they're going to have to repay, not to mention the lives that would have been ruined and indeed some lives lost through that brutal algorithm. Then there's Angus Taylor's refusal to do anything about the falsely accusing Clover Moore over the cost of travel used by Sydney Council, despite the fact that someone, possibly even him, made those fraudulent figures up in the first place. Or when Peter Dutton's Border Force allows a cruise ship carrying people infected with the COVID virus, lets a couple of thousand of them disembark in Sydney, leaving those poor people at the mercy of the virus and the entire nation at risk from them, while at the same time attempting to justify what is clearly sadism in keeping the little family from Billawheeler locked on Christmas Island because he argues they pose, particularly the toddler, a security risk. And then finally, the terrible boast made by Clubs New South Wales last week, when that very powerful lobby group congratulated itself for convincing the New South Wales government to allow over 500 people back into pokie venues months before any other state. As anti-gambling advocate Reverend Tim Costello pointed out, this is really particularly sick because pokey, and this is a quote from him, pokey venues are frequented by elderly people who are most at risk, he said. Clubs New South Wales are now boasting how they have influenced this policy in terms of lifting the cap of 500. It means these venues have the largest numbers allowed, and all of this for pokey profits. That's the end of his quote. Club New South Wales is considered one of the most powerful lobby groups in the country, and it's previously been credited, although that is totally the wrong word to use, with scuttling proposed reforms to reduce poker machine harm, like the dollar bets and the mandatory pre-commitments. Look, you know, Dominic Cummings, Boris Johnson, Scott Morrison, Peter Dutton, the head of Club New South Wales, Josh Landis, will no doubt be patting themselves on the back for being such clever, exceptional people. And they are certainly entitled to their own fantasies. But it is imperative that we understand what this does. At a time when we are seeing protests and the kind of the US looking like a failed state, frankly, with Hong Kong being brought to heel, trust in governments globally is collapsing. We need to be clear that these numerous breaches and betrayals have the effect of corroding and corrupting the very foundations of our democracy. And until we all come up with a better idea of living together peacefully at warp speed, it is in all our interests to call these practices for what they are. They are not just a breach of trust. They are a corruption of the common good, and we really need to bring an end to them.